This week on Full Credit to the Boys, Valentine's Day is approaching, former legend is showing some love, the rugby league wrestle moves to an Auckland bar, and the pizza delivery challenge is gathering speed. Welcome to Full Credit to the Boys. Well, good afternoon, good evening. What an amazing week of sport. Former legend, here he is.
Mate, what about that? For many sports that I don't even follow that hard, to the quality we watched, the quality we witnessed was amazing, amazing.
Not just the quality, but the quantity as well. Now, before we go on, we've got so much to talk about tonight. There's pretty much every sport under the sun. We've got some international curling in there as well. We don't really, but
I was going to say
that's a different rundown, mate. That's the X-rated version. What? You can get in touch with us anytime. This is Full Credit to the Boys. We've got a Twitter account at @FCTTB_podcast. You can get in touch with former legend at @former_legend, myself at Late Mailman. We're on Facebook as well, Full Credit to the Boys, and we are FCTTBpodcast.com.
Now,
or Full Credit to the Boys podcast.com, I should say.
Now that you've got the business out of the road.
The formalities.
Last time we recorded, you told me you were going to play with the Sharks during your week off.
I did say that, almost word for word.
And I seen you on stage with Katy Perry. That was good.
Thank you. Yeah, yes, just
moved
a,
quite well
a
for
brush
a shark.
Of fame. Didn't show my face.
No. Didn't show my face. As per usual.
That's right.
And during the week, there's been a lot of reaction to your Viv Richards story.
Oh, the Viv Richards non-story.
Wow.
Wasn't that an explosion? I had people, it was some of the most pleadingest follows ever. People screenshotting it saying, please follow me for a DM, want to know the Viv Richards story.
Yeah.
Viv Richards got on there and asked to know the Viv, no, he didn't really.
I was going to say.
He didn't really. Prominent Australian journalist got on there and didn't. Ooh, is that a clue?
Ooh.
The Viv Richards story I alluded to on last week's podcast, you can find it in the iTunes store, the podcast app.
I saw someone said that you're as weak as piss.
Yes.
Which is fair, but not about this.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Just in general life. Yeah. Well, it's to be fair, you can't really throw it on me. We asked Clive, didn't we?
Hey, you in the corner.
No comment. Standard lawyer.
Yeah.
He said not to divulge it, which is why you guys got the great pleasure of listening to 10cc.
Yeah. Although, guys, hang in, because we will be using that story when we have guests on. Very similar to the real team, and we'll be measuring their reaction, gauging their reaction, and recording their reaction for your listening pleasure. But I'm sure along the journey, we'll be able to give some hints that you might be able to piece together.
Maybe it could be like The Simpsons, how every time they show McBain, it pieces together to make an actual McBain story. So maybe if you're a bit creative, maybe you've got some audio editing skills, we might be able to piece it together. Oh, but gosh, it's just a lawsuit, a really, really hot lawsuit waiting to happen.
Especially with that particular journalist.
Speaking of lawsuits, let's get into the news.
Katy Perry. That's the only song she was missing the other day.
That's right. It's because she sold the rights to it. It's production music now. Jesus. We own it. It belongs to Full Credit to the Boys podcast. It's royalty free. We own it. Happy days. Let's get into the news. Our first one this week, which it seems like the longest week of sport because there's been so much happening.
Magnificent. Magnificent. When too much sport isn't enough.
Yeah, that's right. It was a case this week of... It was one of those ones where the women say, you've been watching too much sport this week, and you say, there is no such thing, particularly when it's of this caliber. So, the Big Bash League, the BBLO 4 final.
God, that seems like 10 years ago.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Doesn't it? It was only last Wednesday. The Strikers and the Sixers.
So, the best from Sydney versus the best from Perth, and naturally, we play that in...
Canberra. Where else?
Obvious.
Where
obvious
else? I'm trying to sort of see a connection.
Yeah.
Halfway between? No.
What's Canberra got going for it, do you reckon, Hoodie?
Come on.
Porn?
Fireworks.
Bongs.
Lake Burley Griffin.
Mm.
Beautiful manicured roundabouts.
Right, I don't think that's our audience.
I'm pretty sure they played the match on a roundabout. Those things are fucking massive down there. They are massive. Yeah. You can put a football field on
MCG.
But how good was the final?
It was brilliant, brilliant cricket.
The Sixers dug themselves out of a bit of a hole, to
Enrique,
be honest.
Who'd have guessed? Who'd have known?
He went that well. 70-odd for him. Hero to villain. That last ball was...
Yes. I tweeted after the ball was thrown to him at the stumps for a run out on the last ball. I tweeted, Moses parted his hands. Oh. Boom.
That's cruel. He's a good fella.
And very good. Very good fielder too.
And also your mate Brett Lee, that final over. Wow.
Credit where credit's due. Sensational.
Can you imagine if he'd pulled that off? One, pulled the hat-trick off. Two, pulled the win off.
Mm.
Three, just won the match and the championship and then just went, thanks guys, it's been a real.
Who do you know? I like Doug Bollinger. But if you watched the over before... That's pretty much a car wreck of an over to be bowling.
Yeah, he got spanked.
Yeah. I like any bloke that struggles with hair, and he's struggling horribly.
Dug the rug.
Yeah. So, but that the game itself was amazing. It deserved going into a super over, whatever a super over actually is.
Yeah.
I think
it was just an amazing finish to what's been an incredible tournament.
Mm.
Channel 10 must have just been... Just laughing at the luck they were getting, games they were getting. It was exceptional.
They've laughed all the way to, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here.
Oh.
And that's where they flatlined.
Yeah. 700,000 viewers last night. They dropped about half their audience. Yeah. So not that unusual for a second night of a reality show. But whatever. We're not talking about that junk on here. And next one, equally as spectacular, probably more so spectacular.
More so.
I'd go as far as to say the second greatest night in Australian football, the Asian Cup final on Saturday night, 120 pulsating minutes. How about old mate Simon, what's his name, commentator, the English dude, Simon Hill,
putting
the mockers on Australia, 92nd minute, full time's about to blow. They've been so brave. They've been fantastic. Australia have battled and
battled. Stand up, Australia.
And they will... concede a goal.
Stand
and
up.
Every Australian just and went, you dickhead, Simon.
Yeah.
Incredible game, just end-to-end action. The sort of game I think, I am a football fan myself, so it doesn't include myself, but the sort of game I think that would have gotten, it might have converted football fans who weren't so much that sort of were the ones who say it's a boring game.
I think soccer is like, I've always said this before, soccer when played well, is amazing. I mean, soccer when played well is like sex with Heidi Klum.
Yeah.
When it's played badly, it's like sex with a Nutribullet. And think about that.
Yeah, quick and painful, slow and painful. Mm. Depends what setting you've got it on, I suppose.
Pulsating. Mm. But yeah, the other night was amazing. I think there are probably a handful of times where I've watched a sporting event live on television and heard neighbours cheering.
Yeah.
And that was the brilliance of the other night.
And you live on acreage as well.
Oh, yeah, Mossman, yeah. I live in a house sit.
Yeah, so Australia now champions of Asia. How good. Club champions and national champions of Asia.
Wow.
Doing all right. Yeah. Onwards and upwards. Good on you, boys. Come a long way from the wog ball days of the 80s, haven't they?
Mm. Yes.
No, I had to deal with the wog ball taunts back in the day.
Johnny Warren.
In another life. But, happy days for Australian football. Mm. Australian tennis now. The first two sets of... first three sets, let's be fair, of the men's final was pretty spectacular.
Mm.
Looked like it was going to go till March, as I said.
Who are you cheering for, Hoodie?
I want to say Murray, but then I want to duck and because people throw garbage at me for saying it. But you know, Murray, he's polarizing. Let's call it that.
Well, and so is his missus. The T-shirt gate, the whole thing.
What's that about?
Yeah,
that's just unnecessary.
Yeah, that's
just turn inside out, love. If that was the only one left in your suitcase,
I'd like a spotlight
trip
on me if I can.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, no, it was it was a really good night of tennis as well. We'll talk a bit later about the injury gate with Djokovic and...
Oh, yeah, old rubber legs.
Yeah, and biscuit legs or whatever they want to call him. And what about the night before? You watch Serena and Sharapova or not?
Don't care for Serena so much.
Ah, the Venus or Serena
yeah.
debate continues.
Well, I felt like I had to wear my heart on my sleeve with this one.
Yeah, right.
And really yeah. commit to it. Well, I say that. I had the split screen thing going on, so I just had Sharapova, whichever side of the court she
yes,
was on.
Yes.
I just watched that one.
Was it on mute, just out of interest?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Sharapova was playing.
Yeah, yeah. standard.
Come on,
standard.
Mate. The man's not an idiot.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. It doesn't grab me. Ladies tennis doesn't grab me. Well... You know, it does grab me, you know, but only for a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was certainly not the spectacle that the men were. And like you said, I'm getting ready. I'm thinking it's going to be midnight here, and they're about the fourth set in. So,
yeah.
I was expecting a long one, and then as quick as it started, it finished.
Didn't it?
Yeah.
Murray won two of the last 13 games, or three of the last 13 yeah. games, something...
Curled his toes up.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. That's a whole other story in itself. The best sporting meltdowns you can remember.
Mm.
Our next one, we're going to go into this a little bit further later on, the Footy Show Fight Night.
Wow. Did you watch it?
No, I chose to. You know, it's stupid. It's the first time boxing's been on free-to-air in about 30 years.
Yeah.
But the Asian Cup was on. Come on.
I was flicking a lot.
Yeah, but were you watching?
Well... I got off my computer on the porn and back to the sport. But, yeah, with the fight night, look, I sort of compare it to... It did for boxing what Celebrity Splash did for diving. you know, it was... There was some horrible mismatches. There were some guys that if you looked up their records, I checked out one. He'd lost 17 straight before he got in the ring the other night.
Was I right in seeing that...
A bowl of custard fighting?
I thought it was Homer Simpson.
Well, yeah, it could have been that too. That was, I tell you what, could take a punch, that bloke. Could
exactly, take a Homer punch. Simpson. Yeah. That was the whole tactic. Wait till old mate gets fired and then just go doink.
Yeah, you go a long way to see a bloke point to which part of the head he wants to be hit next.
Yeah,
that's what he was doing. He could take a hit. He had some experience, that bloke, if you go through his fights. Mm. He sparred with Tyson. Maybe that's where the brain dead
began. I don't know about that as a credential, you know?
I've
sparred with, Chock Watmo.
Have you?
That's another story in itself, the Chock Watmo story. But anyway,
Greg Bird pissed on you.
We're talking about fighting, mate.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I don't know. If he'd fought Tyson, I'd be more impressed. Put it that way. I'm not a boxing fan. Maybe sparring with Tyson's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
Tweet me if you want. It is a big deal. Correct me at Late Mailman. You can get on that former underscore legends site if
next
you want.
Next up.
So the ODI Tri Series, Australia just punish England. And then did you hear what Owen Morgan said this week?
Glenn Maxwell beat England.
Well, he did, didn't he?
Yeah, single-handedly.
Haters gonna silence.
Yeah.
Because Twitter hated Glenn Maxwell for a good few weeks.
I can tell you, when Glenn Maxwell goes bad, Twitter lights up. Mm. And the other night, it was silence.
Yeah.
It was Sally Fitz.
What did he get, 90-odd and 4 wickets and... He was on a hat-trick at one point.
Yeah, on fire. But then, and took a catch.
Speaking of on fire or fanning flames, Owen Morgan comes out this week and goes, we're not that too concerned about Mitchell Johnson. Any bowler could have gotten those wickets. Now, I don't know if that's a slight on Mitchell Johnson, a slight on his batsman, or a slight on him. I don't even know what it is. Yeah. Mitchell Johnson got him out for a first ball duck.
Well, first of all...
Mitchell Johnson won the Ashes single-handedly 12 months ago.
Someone needs to tell Owen that you spell Owen O-W-E-N.
Yeah, come on, mate.
He looks like he's in advertising with the way he spells his name. second of all, the Poms are scared, and heaven help them if they get them on a green pitch. They will dead set be jumping around like Jack Rabbit, so...
Well, there's quite a few different grounds going to be used in the World Cup, so, you know... I dare say there'll be a discrepancy in the quality of the pitches, so they might get found. I think they're Australia's first opponent, in fact, in the World Cup.
Yeah.
So
between them and India, they've offered us nothing. It's hardly been a warm up.
Yeah, I mean, Big Bash was the big starring thing this summer, wasn't it?
Yep.
There we go. The Auckland Nines, Souths beat the Sharks in the final.
Mm.
Someone mentioned the Sharks might have gone all right.
Yes, gave them a warm tip. I don't know if you backed them for a place or even if you can, but. Yeah, they ran second, and
I dissed them in the next week.
Whilst we both said,
my words.
Whilst we both said that the Nines isn't a form guide, I thought the Sharks were impressive in their defence. It took a while for South to crack them.
I believe they had 8 minutes straight where they didn't touch the ball.
Yeah.
Which in an 18-minute game...
is impressive.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
And didn't concede points in that
look,
time
if you're a Sharkies fan, you've got to be a little bit more excited than you were this time last year.
Yeah, you'd have to be. I mean,
at least your coach is going
to
be
wooden
there.
Wooden spooners to showing a bit of resilience. And they didn't even have your Lukey Lewis's there, your Michael Gordons, your Ben Barbers, your Paul Gallens.
Mm.
You know, they've got a lot of talent that wasn't there. So,
yeah, because when I think nines, I think Paul Gallen.
Yeah, in the same way that I think Anthony Watt, mate. Anyway, so yeah, good tournament, the nines. I only got to see a couple of games, but yeah, quite enjoyable. Speaking of seeing a couple of games, my one NFL game for the year...
magnificent.
Super Bowl XVIVLVLCDVV.
What was not to like about that day?
Super Bowl 49. You know what I liked the most about it? Was that shot they cut from Tom Brady.
Right.
As the intercept winner occurred right on the end there.
Yeah.
So Tom Brady, so obviously the ball's down. So they foiled the touchdown.
That's right.
Whatever you want to say. Yeah. They cut to Tom Brady, who just does this slow motion cheer, and then they cut to old mate Richard Sherman, I think it is, from Seattle, who could talk underwater about himself, and the disgust and the despair, my plan's been foiled face, because he was just there on the sideline, helpless, sucked in, Richard.
Now you know as much about the technicalities of gridiron as I do. Which
I would say I know less.
We could probably write on the back of a postage stamp how much we know together.
Absolutely.
Now they're talking that the play they made where they gave away the intercept was one of the great sporting dunces of all time.
They were talking about they had a great runner who could have gone in the end.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So you know what you needed right there? All you needed was a good high jumper.
Yeah.
Fanning can do the Fosbury flop over the defensive line.
I mean, it seems so easy. It's obviously a lot harder. But
no, it's easy, mate. It's
okay.
It's easy. You
your career was cut short?
The only reason I didn't make the NFL was because I didn't try.
Right, yeah.
I've never played NFL. That's right. The reason
athletic
why.
Athletic ability.
I never played build. NFL. I never played gridiron. So that's why I never made it there.
Your dodgy habits. Actually, that probably qualifies you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That helps you get into the NFL.
Next up.
Stay in the NFL anyway. But we digress. A few ones just to end off here. Cadell Evans retires. Anyone?
Yeah, crickets. Actually, a legend. Probably should have won two Tour de France's. One. And probably means now that less people will be sitting up to watch the Tour de France come June this year.
Looks kind of like a Thunderbird.
Mm.
One of the Thunderbird men.
I've actually seen Cadell Evans ride.
I thought you've seen the Thunderbirds.
Well,
fictional characters, mate.
If you ever watched that Stoned, wow.
Okay.
Cadell Evans, magnificent career, has done a lot for cycling.
Yeah.
So possibly clean. Let's not go too far
perhaps
into
less
that.
Dirty.
Yeah, less dirty than others. Yeah, the cleanest of the dirty shirts there in the peloton.
Now this one gets a bit of chit chatter going. People love the, I don't know if it's the voyeurism or the guilty sadism that they feel when they see this, but media movements, particularly in sporting commentary.
Mm.
My old mate Andrew Moore,
good friend of yours,
has left 2GB, and whatever he does, I say bloody good luck to him because he's a champion bloke and excellent. Excellent broadcaster on many levels.
Yes,
not
yes,
just
yes.
a sporting broadcaster, but...
head for radio, to
he
be
did,
honest.
No comment. Well, he did wake up before Alan Jones every morning for a few years.
Woke up before Alan Jones.
So he's moved to the ABC. Brett Finch has gone to 2GB.
Which is interesting because I know Brett Finch and Ray Hadley have had their odd discrepancies in the past as well.
So, you mean Brett Finch has been alive?
Well, Brett Finch, has spent some time in some sort of media spotlight, which has enabled him to be lambasted by Ray Hadley at some stage. So, yes, he's had the odd run-in. So, he's going over to Team Ray.
Finchie's going over there. Morrow's going to 2GB as well.
Mm.
Which
he's
is
a straight swap for Andrew Moore.
Well, yeah, I guess pound for pound, but
well,
talent for talent.
Maybe not.
Morrow's been doing well. He's been doing well. But Morrow to 2GB, yeah, I'm all right with that one.
Good caller.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And Slater.
Michael Slater.
To be absent from the footy show.
I believe you alluded to this a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
in your rumors section.
Yeah, looks like they're doing some sort of a bit of a... Who am I kidding? They shake up the footy show nearly every year.
Yeah.
Is it the all-new footy show this year again?
My mail is that my favourite, Aaron, is going to have a lot more of a hosting role as a co-anchor.
Okay.
So Aaron will step up.
Yeah.
And there will be obviously room there for a rotating person.
Which means that they'll have now have 14 people on the panel, is that right?
15.
15, okay, sorry,
yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. And 19 on a bye week.
Yep.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the story. Yeah. What do you think of that? What's your thoughts? Have you got that far past the footy show? You don't care like a lot of people.
No, look, I'm gonna be brutally honest about this. I don't watch the footy show.
Mm.
I don't consciously not watch it.
Right.
But I just for one reason or another, either I don't find myself flicking around free to air that time on a Thursday night. I just don't think to put it on, to be honest.
I
don't mind Slats on the screen if that's what you're asking. I quite like him on camera. I think he's good. But I'm neither here nor there.
Can I ask you, have you ever watched the AFL footy show?
A little bit. It's one of those ones, kind of like how Sports Tonight used to be in the day, where you get home late or whatever, you turn the TV on late, and it's just always
on. So you
on.
Watch it. Yeah.
It's on.
Yeah. Like a screensaver for your telly.
Kind of.
Yeah.
So, you know, Timmy Ebbie Webster used to always be on sometime between 10:30 and midnight every night.
Yeah, yeah.
And so every Thursday, the footy show tends to be on at 11, 12, or whenever it is that the NRL footy show goes off air.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't mind it. I think it's a slick production.
I think AFL footy show is what the NRL footy show should become. Take away from...
With a cricketer on there, NJB Brayshaw.
Cricketer, well, use the term loosely, obviously. He is the president of a club down there, so that probably gives him some sort of justification.
Well,
there.
Yeah, I mean, Slats isn't heading up Manly or anything
like
that.
Yeah, not at this stage. So, yeah, anyway, maybe we'll talk about... I want to do a podcast in the next few weeks about the media.
Okay.
And because I know that the media love rating players on a week-to-week basis,
yeah,
I think we are more than justified in rating the media as a whole.
Okay.
Yeah, and singly. Good. I mean, we'll probably isolate a lot of people.
We have to make sure that no other podcast has done that, though, if we're giving out media awards or something like that.
Yeah, don't be a dickhead.
Our last news story for the night, Fat Mess Nathan Tinkler. Oh, sorry, I just... I just read that verbatim off the rundown without really thinking. That was a bit of a Ron Burgundy
Clive.
Sorry about that, Clive. Yeah.
No personal opinions in the news rundown, son.
Nathan Tinkler issued show cause notice over financial mess at Newcastle Jets.
I'll tell you the biggest surprise.
Didn't have a good weekend, the Newcastle Jets.
Well, I'll tell you what, they probably had a better weekend than Tinkler's ever had.
Adelaide put 7 on them, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's because you've sacked half the team before this game started. Yeah.
That's because they're missing Josh Berlanti.
The biggest surprise in all of this is that Tinkler actually owns something still. I thought he'd given up to diabetes and passed on or something, because I hadn't heard a hide and a hair of him. And to find out that he still has some financial interest in something, he's given away 400 racehorses. He owes Jerry Harvey on around 20 or 50 million.
How does anyone owe anyone that much money? It beggars belief.
Yeah, and I think
how anyone can rise and fall
scarily, I think
such extremes.
Scarily, I think Nathan put it on his GE Harvey Norman card, so it's about 90% interest too. Good luck with that, Nathan. He used to fly over in his own plane. I think he's going Tiger at the moment, up the back near the shithouse. So, So it seems that the Newcastle Jets are in all sorts of trouble, which no one is happy about. That's a sad, sad thing. So we'll watch with bated breath as the next moves, but it does not look good.
The Rant. All right, so we move on to our next segment tonight, The Rant, which is basically a...
debut.
It's debut. It's chaired by former legend. If you like what he says, if you hate what he says, you can tweet him at @former_legend. Don't bother tweeting me about this segment. I've got nothing to do with it. So it's basically what sort of...
yourself.
Yeah, it's what's running through your mind at the moment. And little Cupid's been in the air.
Valentine's Day coming up.
Yeah. I'm going to see Sting and Paul Simon in The Hunter.
Are you?
Yeah.
Swiping right on both of those, are you?
Go on with your rant.
So, look, I just thought we're 6 episodes in. They said we'd never make it. And I just wanted to put something out there, which is, this is a little bit, how can I say this?
Emotional?
Yeah, I mean, puppy dogs and roses, I guess. I just want to give a shout out to, first of all, a few of the podcasts that I know both of us listen to and enjoy.
Yeah.
Because there's this misconception that all podcasts, because are competing against each other, and I don't get that. I don't understand.
Absolutely
that.
Absolutely not.
It's a free medium.
It's a an infinite audience, let's face it.
And no one's making money out of them.
No, and if you are, good luck to you. Yeah. But
send us the keys.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got no agenda with this. We just want to put something out for you guys. And
have some
from
fun.
What we understand, you're enjoying it, so happy days. Yeah. So we're going to keep on doing it.
So first of all, I want to mention the three podcasts that
inspire you.
That I enjoy.
Amuse you.
Yeah, amuse you, definitely. The first one is This Week in League, which I think you listen to as
very
well.
Very good.
Yeah, they're the mainstays of rugby league podcasting in this country.
And how long have they been doing it now?
I don't know. About five
A good
years,
handful
I think.
Of years. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. And they're very good. Listen to the boys. They are on Twitter at, I think it's TWIL_League or TW League or something like that.
At TWI League, I think
you'll
it
find
is.
Them.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, listen to those guys. They're good guys. It's like two blokes sitting at a bar and talking footy, which I enjoy.
Which is how every broadcasting boss will tell you you're supposed to deliver a radio show.
So they deliver it well. The second one is the Full 80 podcast, who have been big supporters of me, former legend.
Yeah.
And if you haven't listened to their podcast, if you do Supercoach, you do yourself a favour and listen to their podcast, because they do a really informative look at Supercoach, something that I can't get into.
And if you do Supercoach, then I suggest that you get cracking around the house and do some chores over the next month or so, because your wife's not going to see you.
Yeah.
Because if you want to do well in those things, holy
shit.
Wow,
isn't that a time eater?
Wow. I've spoken to a fellow called Chris Kennedy, who does a lot of stuff with the NRL.com, Dream Team stuff. You can actually find him on Twitter at CKennedy84.
Now, tell me, is Dream Team the same thing? Same kind of thing?
Same sort of concept, yeah. I mean, you have a team, you trade in and out, you score points based on this, that, and the other
sure,
thing.
Sure, sure.
And, mate, it's a science. There's so much to it. This guy, Chris Kennedy, who I've had a bit to do with, he's like a savant.
Right.
I speak to him about it, and okay. I say, you ask him something simple like, what's news with Paul Gallen? And he'll just go into this,
yeah,
not a rant, but just a delivery. He knows what's happening. He knows the stats. He knows this, that, and the other thing. Canola will win
always,
X games without
I'm always dodgy on anything that makes Corey Park look like a rugby league god. So
yeah, he's always and Sean Fensom, for that matter.
Right. So yeah, they're the second one, the Full 80 podcast. They're also on Twitter. They do a podcast each week. Listen to them, like I said, especially if you're into Supercoach. And the third one that I want to talk about or mention is Fire Up on FBI, who are genuinely hilarious.
Yeah,
blokes.
They got some good stuff.
Yeah, no, they're very, very funny. They're on FBI Radio on Friday mornings, and you can also podcast them. They are gold, and so is their Twitter account, Fire Up on FBI.
You've got a few individuals who want to
yes
spread some of your Cupid arrows
some of
towards
former legend love all over yeah. Up to. First of all, at Jimmy Hooper, who is very, very Twitter friendly, and is also been quite.
So he's one of those ones who actually replies to your
yeah,
tweets.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We'll get to that
yeah.
one. We'll get to that. What we're talking
yeah,
about
yeah,
shortly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Broken heart. The second one is Jimmy Smith. Obviously, he's our bit of a
who's someone. He's a bit of fodder.
Yeah,
and a good guy.
Yeah, we secretly admire him by flogging him every week.
Yeah, that's right. Basically. That's what you do. It's like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like primary school behavior. You
yeah.
cut down the ones that you want to be like.
And he works in, I think, 98 radio stations all around Sydney.
That's ridiculous, bro.
Yeah, something like
it's
that.
It's 94.
Sorry, Jimmy. Sorry about that.
Someone accused me of being Jimmy Smith the other day.
Accused you? I mean, you look...
Not accused.
You look remarkably
suggested
similar.
Suggested that maybe... You're seeing the back of my head, mate.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got the same colour hair. That's
in the back of Jimmy's head too. The next two are both the girls from the Footy Show, at Erin Molan or Erin_Molan and at Yvonne Sampson. Erin has pretty much put up with my shit for the last year or so on Twitter.
I think it's fair to say that you're certainly Team Erin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'll have you prop up Team Vonnie.
Gee, you're a good sport and
I
a good bloke.
I'm just a bloody good bloke.
Yeah. So those two, Yvonne is always up for a laugh and replies when she's on Twitter. And so is Erin. And so just I'll just end it there. That's hardly a rant, but later on in the year, we'll be having some rants.
Oh, we're going to open up. I'm going to give you some distance.
I've got a couple of beauties lined up already. I'm talking to you, Woolworths. So, yeah, shout out to those guys, and much love.
Mountain or a molehill time. So this, to our new listeners, and welcome, if you're new. Mm. Happy days. It's good to see you. Hear you. Mm. Good for you to hear us.
Is it?
Mountain or a molehill. I hope so. Mm. So basically, we put out a bit of a headline that's been in the news the last week or so. We discuss, throw out there whether we think it's a mountain or a molehill. Some good stuff in here. First of all, Willie Mason, Auckland Nine's indiscretion. Mountain or a molehill, you go for this one.
Anytime you see a press release with the words play fighting, you can pretty much dismiss it as bullshit. Willie Mason's done a lot in his career, a lot of bad things and a lot of good things.
Yeah.
This is less than a speed hump. I think this was a case of the media wanting something, and there's a few certain Willie bashers. Well, Willie bashers. Willie bashers in the media who were sweating on this. It is nothing. It is less than a molehill.
Fair enough. I was going to go the same one, which makes it pretty uninteresting, but I wonder whether, because he was play fighting with his brother, apparently, Les. If you've seen Les.
Les, the better boxer of the two.
Yeah, he's a scary-looking human.
Mm.
So, you know, maybe there was just, you know, maybe they were play wrestling, whatever they were doing. Maybe his facial expressions looked a bit aggressive. Maybe walked out of the pub.
Even if they were slapping into each other, it's two brothers.
Yeah.
Who gives a rat's?
I think the Johns boys did that in downtown Cessnock one night.
On
Newcastle one evening. But that's another story completely.
Mm.
Molehills all round.
Yes.
Number two, footy players becoming boxers, while we're on the topic.
Yeah.
Does it cheapen the sport? Are we talking about, does it cheapen boxing or does it cheapen footy?
Well, let's just start with boxing, eh? What do you reckon?
It kind of reminds me of actors who just decide to put out an album because they have access to, you know, it. It kind of makes me think, are you doing this just because someone said, hey, I've got a recording studio, come and have a sing?
Worked okay for Kylie Minogue, if I'm honest.
Yeah, well, but I mean, that was the 80s.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Like when Holly Valance from Neighbours thought she could sing. When Tamin Sursok from Home and Away thought she could sing.
I don't even know who that is.
I'm sure Beck Cartwright had a single.
Is that the bloke that says Flamin' all the time?
I don't even know. That's an alpha, I think. Home and
Away. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm. Mountain or a molehill, footy players becoming boxers, does it achieve in the sport? I'm gonna say yes, it does, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm pissed off that you've said that.
Sorry.
I'm the same. I'll just give you a little bit of a warning here. I spoke to a couple of guys that are training out of the same gym as Gary Gallen's son, Paul, trains out of.
Yeah.
At Costia's there at Brighton. And whilst they didn't want to be named, they said that they aren't overly impressed by the level or the quality that was churned out the other night, and it was more like a talent quest than it was an actual boxing night.
Yeah.
However, almost to a man, saying that, there was three of them I spoke to, they all said Solomon Hamono is the absolute exception to this rule. They're not overly impressed.
He's still training.
Oh, mate, I'm telling you now, he was there.
Yeah.
And he is ripped as fuck.
Still seeing the pleasure machine?
No, that was a regrettable part of his career.
That was an interesting month for him.
Yeah, and for a couple of others. Anyway, so Solomon is the exception to the rule. They said he is a freak. However, they probably don't see him as a football player at this point in his career.
Isn't he someone's cousin? He's a footy
player's cousin. Someone's cousin. We're all someone's cousin.
I think he's someone's cousin. Is it Anthony Mundine? No, it's Blake Ferguson's cousin. Anyway.
But anyway,
if you know, please. I've just jumped in here with an internal thought here. Tweet me, at Late Mailman. Remind me who Solomon Hormono's famous sporting cousin is.
Yes. So I'm going to say it is a mountain as well. And I feel a little bit sad for boxing at that level because it does them no favours.
Number three, quality of halftime entertainment at grand finals. I suppose we're referring to.
Well, did you see
the topical Super Bowl one? Yeah, that was quite incredible.
Amazing.
All that happened within about half an hour as well.
Yeah,
half
an hour, 45 minutes.
Yeah, so 45 minutes. Let's give it 5 minutes either stage side for all that. Did you see? Oh, I was going to say, did you see the floor of the stage that was falling in and stuff like that? But then to that end, you say, did you see the huge lion that she rode on, despite the fact that the song's about a tiger?
I've seen Lenny Kravitz doing some of his best work.
Yeah.
Well-known pants man, probably. The only person I've heard probably wasn't that impressed by it.
Russell Brand?
Yeah. That's exactly who I was going to say. Oh, yeah. Wow. I can't imagine he's sitting there going, good on you. While everyone else was going, holy shit.
Yeah. Weird little one, that one. But quality of halftime entertainment at grand finals.
So let's equate it back to where we're at.
Yeah.
What do you think about, is that an important part of the grand final?
For me, personally? Zero.
Zero.
Couldn't care less.
So they could have a running race at the halftime and you wouldn't give a rat's.
I'd probably prefer a running race. Give me something to cheer about, you know? I was at the 2013 grand final. The most recent one I was at, Manly Roosters.
Who was the halftime entertainment there?
I can't actually think of who or what was on at halftime. Ricky Martin was the pre-show, though.
That's regrettable.
Good performer, but...
How good are daytime fireworks, by the way?
Yeah, I know, yeah. And just a black stage.
Yeah, right.
Thorpey
there?
He kind of looked like Thorpey there.
Right, hanging off the side stage.
I'm not really into him, to be honest. So to me, Molehill.
Yeah, I'm saying Molehill as well. Although if they keep justifying charging people ridiculous money to go to grand finals, surely they can toss up something.
Just think about it. They had Lenny Kravitz, Katy Perry, Missy Elliott. Am I missing anyone? That's three people who would have got at least seven figures each to perform there.
Yeah, I think Katy would have got the bulk sum. But I actually heard from the grill team that Katy Perry paid to be there.
Oh, you know what? That is what happened this year. That because they just said they were spending so much money and people wanted to be there so much because so many people are watching.
Yeah, it's album sales and everything else
go
through the roof.
Right. I did forget about that. Yeah, so they basically tendered it to people.
Spot question without warning.
Yeah.
This never ends well. If you're going to put someone on for the grand final this year, who would it be?
NRL grand final?
Surefire hit.
Grinspoon.
Surefire?
I think it's going to please more rugby league fans than it will piss off.
Mm-hmm. I'll say Cole Chisel.
Yeah, big hit. Big hit. I mean, it's a safe option. If you can get them together. But, I mean, to that end, you should probably be struggling trying to get Grinspoon together too. But just some Aussie rock. Just something. Yeah. Living ended work.
Yeah, ACDC would be nice if you could afford it.
Just something with a bit of grunt.
Although not their
drummer. Something with a bit of grunt. Like, I mean, it was... oh, no, he was pre-show. I was going to say Slash.
That was bad.
That was last year.
Yeah, that was bad.
That was just him basically doing guitar karaoke.
Yeah, it was pretty
guitar
much...
Karaoke.
Yeah, it was almost air guitar.
Mm.
Or the equivalent of. Yeah. So, anyway, it's just one that I thought I'd toss up.
Djokovic pretending to be hurt in the Oz Open final. Now, we say, in inverted commas, pretending to be hurt.
Well, in the last day, I think Andy Murray's come out and basically suggested he was. So, let's just say, for the sake of the argument, he was acting wounded.
Well, I think they're reasonably good mates, he and Djokovic. So, right. It may have come from Djokovic himself that, yeah, mate, I punctured. Because whatever it was, Murray fell for it. Real or not,
yeah,
it rattled Murray.
So do you think it's... I think the idea of the
question... You know what he looked like? Sorry. You know what Djokovic looked like? He looked like one of those kids' toys, the horses, where you push the bottom of them and their legs just go... Bang, and just go down to rubber. He looked like he was doing that.
It was soccer-style acting.
He looked like Forrest Gump in those leg braces where he just like bends back on his legs.
It was Ronaldinho at his best.
Yeah.
I think the spirit of the question here is... If we agree that he was pretending to be hurt, is that a bad thing, or not for tennis?
I just think it's gamesmanship.
So do I.
I just think it's gamesmanship. There's, you know, it's up there with sledging. It's up there with diving in football.
Yeah,
it's up there with quote diving end quote in rugby league.
Yeah,
or staying down or whatever
down.
You want to call it.
Yeah,
It's just another way or a way of getting under people's skin.
Yeah.
One way or another.
So you see it as a molehill?
Molehill. Yeah, the fuss over it. Yeah, molehill.
I don't know about you, but in sport, I think anything is up for
to tamper with. You can toy with how to word it.
But I don't mind any of that. Same with, like last week we spoke about sledging. Yeah. Mate, more of you do it and it gets under their skin, well, you've done your job.
As long as you don't cross that invisible line.
Look, there's some lines that you don't cross. But as a whole, I don't see why people think there's some huge thing we've got to fix in sport.
All right, number two. Number five. The hell's wrong with me? I've gone dyslexic. we've got to crack through this. Teams naming underwhelming lineups for the Auckland Nines.
Does it diminish?
So we're gonna bookend the our Mountain or Molehill segue with Auckland Nines tonight. Mountain or Molehill. What do you say to this one?
I say to Mountain.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think MG on the Grill Team. I've been listening to the Grill Team again this week. Welcome back, boys. Well, doing a good job. MG said this week that it's becoming a little bit city country-ish.
Yeah.
And that's not a path you want to walk down. So I'm gonna say Mountain.
I guess it's what it's actually supposed to be. I feel like the Auckland Nines, though entertaining, has a bit of an identity crisis. Is it a preseason comp? Is it a gauge? Is it a hit out? Is it something that people begrudgingly play? Is it, you know, it's the same problem that the All-Stars game has faced in the recent years, which is incidentally back in a week or so. But I'm going to say Molehill because I reckon as long as it is what it is and it's basically a big bash tournament, I think each club is sort of, it's their prerogative whether they decide to take it seriously.
Yeah,
or not.
But I think going down that path, it will become a city country thing where we'll be looking at third and fourth stringers and straight away the popularity will die.
Yeah, well, potentially. But I mean, then to the clubs who don't really care about it, meh.
Oh, look, there are rich clubs who don't give a rat's ass for $1 million in prize money.
Yeah, well, 300 grand.
Is it 300 for the winner?
Yeah, 340. I thought it was 340 or
anyway,
200.
Whatever it is, even if it's just say $500,000.
Yeah, yeah.
But there are clubs that, like, I think the Bulldogs and the Broncos would clean that out of their poker machines. So they don't give a rat's for that sort of cash. And I know that from all reports, Des Hasler's upset a few by the way he's conducted himself with the NRL 9. So
get off the fence time. All right, so this is basically we have to make a decision. There's no fence sitting allowed. Pull that splinter out of your ass and make a decision. We've got to get through this one quickly. The first one, who do you choose? Sonny Bill versus Paul Gallen boxing.
Easy. Sonny Bill.
So you this is who we're going to go watch?
No, who are we back in a fight?
Oh, yeah, right, okay.
Sonny Bill, easy.
It's hard to go past Sonny Bill.
Experience for a start.
And he's just a specimen.
Yeah, sometimes that doesn't work in boxing. But.
Yeah, I know. But he just looks like whatever sport. He looked like if he played cricket, he'd be.
He should have knocked that beanbag out the other night. That was a bit of a worry. Although, what I will say is, on the undercard, Willis Meehan would own both of those guys. He is an out-and-out boxer. And, again, going back to the blokes I talked to during the week, he's the one, they all said, looked the goods.
Just to clarify there, I feel like I was a bit fence city. I choose Sonny Bill.
Sorry.
Moving on. Number two. Nick Kyrgios, brat or brilliant? Go for it.
Brat until he wins a tournament of note.
Yeah.
I'm going to say you can't carry on like a toolbox before you win one.
Well, I feel like it might be a bit of a chicken or an egg thing. So I'm going to go brilliant and I'm going to say, you know, maybe you can't have one without the other. Okay.
I'm going to say
maybe his brilliance will be what pushes him ultimately to that title. So he's had quarterfinals in Wimbledon now, quarterfinals in Oz Open. Let's hope that 2015 is a big year for him and he can get to the final, if not win a major. Who
wonder
knows?
How good Ken Rosewall would have been if he had to carry it on like a flog.
Anyway. Yeah, it just doesn't lend itself to that era, really, does it?
No.
Who knows, though? They might have been. Who knows? Moving on. Number three.
Lance Armstrong quoted during the week, "If I could go back in time, would I drug cheat again?" And the answer to that was, yes. Now, is that dumb or is it honest?
I think it's honest, to be honest.
Yeah.
There you go. Honest to be honest.
He said it sitting in some flash house, so he's probably looking around thinking, eh.
The thing is, I'm not a cycling expert. I don't ever profess to be a cycling expert, but so many people who I do know who are big cycling followers just say that if you want to win, you've got to keep up. How do you keep up? If one person's doping.
Can I suggest there's a... We'll talk about that another time. But yeah, at this stage, I'm going to say he's honest because of the way the world is. And that's not just cycling either.
Were you just about to drop a Lance Armstrong story?
No, I was going to drop a bigger bombshell than even that. But we'll do that another time. It's about drug cheating.
Okay. Number four, Daly Cherry Evans or Kieran Foran, who do Manly try and keep? Wow. That's a tough one.
Mm.
That's a tough one. Go for it.
I'd keep Foran.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is that because you think he's of more value to Manly, or do you think it will cost less for Manly to keep him?
No, I think if I had to choose one and we were going to pay $1 million for either of them, I'd keep Foran, purely because I think consistently he is a better player. While Daly Cherry Evans might play 10 games better than Foran over the entire season, I think Foran is a better commodity.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with Daly Cherry Evans just because, pretty much because of the reason you said.
Right,
because,
for the brilliance.
Well, he doesn't have bad games per se, Daly Cherry Evans, in my opinion. I don't think he has bad games as such. He might have just mediocre. Sort of just standard games.
And that's the measure of a good player, isn't it? When he has a mediocre game, we think that was rubbish.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I see your point.
So, I'm gonna say Daly Cherry Evans. The answer to it, though, is anyone's guess.
Mm.
Wow. I can't see them keeping both. Though, Ken Arthurson, the godfather of Manly, he's come out today and said they need to move heaven and earth to keep him. But
I don't
with
see
due
it.
Respect to Arco, it doesn't work like it did back in the day.
Yeah. I heard Warriors have made a big play for him, but it's too late.
Yeah, right. So there's talk about Cherry Evans to the Sharks. There's talk about Cherry Evans to the Gold Coast.
I think Cherry Evans stays in Manly.
There's talk about Cherry Evans to stay at Manly. Four, and there's talk about him to Parramatta.
He's the one's going to go. In my
Canterbury.
Opinion.
Who knows? Yeah. Anyone's guess. Good luck to him, though. Number five. What would be a better night on the Cairns with the following people, or one of the following people? Robert Allenby, Tiger Woods, John Daly. Wow. Triple threat.
Yeah.
All golfers.
Got to choose one at their height. And I'll talk on their height of their golfing prowess, although with Tiger it sort of collaborates with one and the other. I'm talking about their off-field antics.
I'm going to go Tiger Woods.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to go Tiger Woods. I just feel sort of...
Pants what, man?
Early 2000s.
Pants what, man? You're a pants man? Is that what you're saying?
No, I just think Robert Allenby, from what we've seen over the past couple of weeks, it would be...
You want to be able to fight if you're going to Robert, let's be honest.
Well,
I think he's going to get the puncher.
I just think it'd be a very unpredictable evening.
Yeah.
A very unpredictable evening. Not saying the others wouldn't as well, but like Robert's, you could go anywhere from having a few wines to being picked up by homeless people off the ground. And I'm not sure I want that.
If rumours are correct, Allenby is one of the biggest whiners around. I'm going to say John Daly.
Long John.
Yeah. Because I tell you something now, that would be, as long as he's paying.
It'd be extravagant, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be extravagant.
We're going to have a night out as long as he's paying, because I'm not betting
he'd be
millions
washing
of dollars
his hands
on blackjack.
With Bollinger, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's that sort of a thing.
I don't think Dougie's got anything to do with it.
Number six. in a 100-meter race, who's winning out of former legend and Georgie Rose?
Over to you. I know who I'm backing.
You know what? I'm backing Georgie Rose.
Oh, you fuck.
Shit, I forgot who I was in the room with. He has some toe for a prop. And
over 100?
Well, I don't think he's run 100 for a few years.
What if you're wearing thongs carrying a beer? Experience is going to get me over the line for a start.
Well, yeah. You have got 30 years on him, though.
Yeah, and some.
Yeah, so... who knows? Could be a photo. Could be a photo.
If George wants to take that race on, he knows where to find me.
You can find Georgie on Twitter, actually, if someone wants to tell him, at Gorgeous G Rose. I'm sure he'd buy into this.
Yeah.
He seems like a good Bathurst boy. He'd enjoy a bit of banter like that.
Yeah. And can I just tell George, watch Seinfeld to see how I'm going to win.
All right, overs or unders? So basically, we put out a market, and basically we sort of say whether we choose it or not. It's a bit radical. It's not the sort of thing necessarily you would see on sportsbet.com.au or any of those ones.
You sure?
Sometimes they get on them, don't they?
They're betting on the length of the anthem at the Super Bowl. They'll bet on anything.
Yeah, that's true. As long as they can sort of create a definitive margin, I suppose. So what do we got here? First one.
A winner of the of a men's Grand Slam title in the next 2 years outside of the big four.
Okay, right.
So outside of Federer, outside of Nadal, outside of Djokovic, outside of Murray.
Yep.
Did I name them all?
Yeah, that's four.
Yeah. So outside of those four.
Counting champion.
Yeah. So over or under?
Over or under one. Oh, geez. In the next 2 years. So we've had one of the four for this year.
That's a wipe.
So there's seven remaining.
Seven remaining.
Under.
You're going to say none of them will come out of those four?
No. Sorry.
Outside of those four.
Outside. So I'm saying Murray, Nadal, Djokovic, Federer. Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4. Between them, they will win the next seven Grand Slams.
So Federer hasn't won one in 3 years.
He's just the kind of guy who you never write off a champion.
He's going to be there.
Never write off a champion.
Yeah. So you're going to say under. I'm going to say there will be one. There's always a Smoky.
Do you have a Smoky in mind?
Wawrinka is there.
Oh yeah, big Stan the man won the Oz Open last year.
Yeah. I'm going to talk a little bit more about tennis a little bit later on, mainly because I found an interesting website that I urge all our listeners to have a look at.
Fair enough. Our next market, Serena Williams, the lesser of the two Williams sisters, if I'm being honest. Total Grand Slam titles, over or under 25, bearing in mind that Margaret Court, the legend, had 24 titles. Currently.
Clubhouse leader.
Currently, 19 titles.
Serena.
Is what Serena has. She's 33 years old. What's she need? Five. Six.
Six. Six to hit the lead.
Oh, she could do that in 2 years, couldn't she? Well, not even. She could do it in 18 months.
She's 33.
Yeah. Didn't Hingis come back and win a Grand Slam at some ripe old age? Or I don't know. Mm. This is where my tennis knowledge is escaping me.
Sellers did.
Will she... Yeah, I'm going to go unders.
Why,
though? Not for the reason you're saying. I'm saying it because she's the lesser of the Williams sisters. Hashtag Team Venus, if you're with me.
Yeah. Google Serena Bikini before you answer that one.
Venus Bikini.
So I'm going to say under as well. I don't think she can crack the 25 that's required.
Number three, how many Sydney-based teams, there's currently nine, should there be in the NRL? Over or under nine? So, basically, will we see one, should we see one
leave,
relocate or get punted, banished to the Tui's new VB League, or whatever it's called? Should there be? How many should there be? Mm. Over or under nine? Oh. 10 has a nice ring to it.
So you're going to add one to Sydney?
It's not going to happen, though. That's the thing.
That's ridiculous.
I'm going to say unders.
Yeah, I'm going to say unders. Now, I'm going to follow that up quickly.
Yep.
Who will you cut from Sydney? So
will they get cut or will they get...
Well, let's just say relocate.
Yeah.
Which, in some ways, is a loss anyway.
Yeah. Who's going to go? Tigers or Sharks?
Yeah. Okay. Sharks are a chance because of their link to, I think it's Tony Sandick, someone will tell me, in Perth.
Right.
Who's a big Shark supporter and has plenty of cash.
Yeah.
And is a friend of Benny Elias's, I believe.
fingers in pies.
Yeah. Speaking of fingers. Here's an idea.
Okay.
Here's an idea. I think it's got to be under. I think there are too many teams. It's a Sydney-centric competition.
Yeah.
Now, people will say, well, you've got to get rid of your weak ones. Here's an idea. Get rid of your two strong ones. I'm not saying get rid of them. I'm saying move them. Because their supporter base will follow them anyway.
Yeah, that's an interesting one.
Okay.
There'd no doubt be a revolt.
Of course there'll be a revolt.
Whether it's a revolt to, you know, a terminal revolt.
Put it this way. When a team's going well, it's very hard to get people to drop off them.
Yeah.
Now, if you moved, let's just say the strong teams would be the Bulldogs.
Yeah.
And...
Do you mean strong in terms of supporter base?
Supporter base, success, and money.
Okay.
It's measured equally, I reckon.
Okay.
Now, with that in mind...
Because, I mean, Manly are successful.
Yeah, I wouldn't move Manly.
They're not rich.
They're busted.
And their supporter base can be a bit fickle.
Yeah, and they're building up that shithole at Brookvale to try and make it into something presentable. They're polishing a turd. Now, with that in mind,
Does the Dragons count as a Sydney team in this instance?
Of course.
They do, right?
Yeah, of course. Cool.
So Dragons are strong, Rabbitohs are strong, Bulldogs are strong.
Ask the good people of Wollongong when they watch them five times a year, whether they're a Sydney team or not.
Yeah, that's true.
So I would suggest, and I imagine the Bulldogs fans who always seem to be very vocal, if you move the Bulldogs out of Sydney.
Wow. Out of New South Wales?
No.
Okay.
No. I'm going to suggest...
The Burke Bulldogs?
No, I'm going to suggest...
The Broken Hill Bulldogs?
I'm going to suggest...
The Bulladilla Bulldogs?
The Tookley Bulldogs? The Budgiewoi Bulldogs? So, the Budgiewoi Bulldogs and...
The Coffs Harbour Bulldogs?
Edit that out. there's going to be a jihad on us. This is going to break even more hearts, I guess, because that's one team gone. Either the Roosters or the Rabbitohs go as well.
Wow. Rip the heartland out of Sydney City Rugby League.
Yeah.
It'd be an interesting experiment, put it that way.
I know people will say you're talking out of your Tigers' pocket, which may be the case. However, I think it would be a smarter way of doing it.
It'd be an interesting way of doing it. I'm not a businessman. I can't say what I think really doesn't mean much because I'm not a businessman. But it's interesting. Look, if you agree at @former_legend, if you disagree, abuse the hell out of him. He's quick to bite. @former_legend. I'm at late mailman, but I wasn't the one who came up with this outlandish scheme. So you do it all on @former_legend.
Yeah. Shout out to the girl too last night from America who told me that me and my followers are absolute imbeciles.
Yeah, right, champion.
Yeah, 44,000 followers she had too, by the way.
Go back to your Philly cheesesteak, love.
Oh, I wanted to tweet out her name, but anyway.
Number four, Tiger Woods. He's now outside the top 50. Worst round ever, 82. Yeah, it was a 13 over par?
11.
11 over par?
Yeah.
Oh, right, sorry, my 71. Mistake. 71, okay. Over or unders, he will win one more golf major.
Who would have thought we'd ever have had this conversation?
Yeah, I was actually talking to friends about this yesterday. Is the magic done? I'm going to say over.
He's going to win one?
He hasn't won one since 2008. No, it can't be that long. It can't be 2008.
Oh,
maybe. It's been a couple of years, if not a few years.
Let's just say 2010.
He won seven tournaments last year. None of them were majors.
Mm.
He's still able to win. That was a rotten tournament the other night.
We're talking majors.
Yeah.
He lost his tooth a week before. Yeah.
Maybe it was his Samson hair.
Yeah.
You know, it was his Samson thing. It was his kryptonite.
Let's just face it. He was a better golfer when he was the pants man that he once was.
But he did bounce back after that. He did bounce back to a point. Yeah. So did
his four iron off his knees when his missus hit him with it.
I'm going to say with little confidence, over one more.
I'm going to say, and I never thought I'd say this, I don't think he's got one in him.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll let him know you said that, by the way.
Yeah.
I'll be speaking to him. I call him TJ. Our last one, Shane Warne. Australia can't win the World Cup without Pup. So they can't win the Cup without Pup. Michael Clarke, of course, he's referring to there, his little buddy, his little pocket man. Over or under, his little lapdog, if you will. Or under win if no Pup Clarke. Okay, so can Australia win the World Cup without Pup Clarke? Go for it.
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Do they need... Okay, so Clark's missing in this scenario.
Yes.
Who is winning it for them? Not saying that Clarke would have necessarily
who's
won
captain
it for
or
them.
Who's winning
no,
it for
no,
them?
No. Who's their key... Who's
Steve Smith.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Smith and Warner.
Let me throw another variable into it then.
All right.
What if James Faulkner doesn't play?
Yeah. Look, we've got some good bowlers around. Faulkner is pretty much an all-rounder anyway, which is going to be a huge loss.
Particularly in the one
days,
that's right.
Huge loss. I mean, he has come onto his own, but they can still win it.
Yeah.
They've got one team to beat, in my opinion, and that's South Africa. Everyone else is running around playing for third and fourth.
New Zealand dark horse. You were rapping them the other day.
And you bagged them and said the Minnows will beat them.
I've started to... Yeah, I did. I'm going to stick with that one, actually. I'm not going to backpedal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I don't think New Zealand can win. I don't think they've got enough good games in them. They've got good games in them, but not enough.
Like the 92 World Cup. They had a great tournament, but they didn't win it. So yeah. maybe there's something similar will happen this time. Yeah, and incidentally, that was in Australia and New Zealand as well.
So with that in mind, I think, yes, they can win with Pup Clark. And in your scenario without James Faulkner, Pup Clark there or not's not going to make a difference to that.
Okay, is George Bailey there? Is he even in the squad?
Oh.
For mine, he's not captaining. He's not captaining. Yeah. Steve Smith's doing well. You put the C next to his name, he scores a century.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to say if no Pup Clark, then yes, George Bailey should be there. And even if he's not captain, he will be a good reference point for Smith.
Okay.
So, But yes, they can win without Pup. Yeah, well, let's just leave it at that.
Our weekly full credit to the Boys Awards. This is where we basically give a bit of a plug to those who've gone above and beyond with the with their tweeting prowess for the week.
They've tweeted some gold.
So basically, we normally choose an amateur and a celebrity. You know, someone who's just amused us with some Twitter gold for this week.
Yeah, well, I've got two yet again. I don't know why I'm doing that, but anyway, it was quite easy to find two this week for me.
All right.
My first one was at @SaintBenny63. These were tweeted on the same night and about the same thing. This was about the Footy Show Fight Night. So, at SaintBenny63 tweeted, if Sonny Bill comes out with a large hot chips, this bloke will fold. And obviously, he's talking about Sonny Bill's opponent, who was, an absolute blancmange.
Good word.
And the second one is, he's a bit of a, this is a not a celebrity, but not an amateur. He's middle ground. So, he's at boring NRL guy.
He who amuses
tweets,
me.
He amuses everyone. He tweets gold. And he tweeted, is Sonny Bill Williams fighting some sort of internet troll?
He did look like the comic book guy, didn't he?
Yeah. He looked like, I think I tweeted something along those lines. Those two cracked me up. But I'll tell you what, they weren't lonely on that night. There were some absolute ball terrors in the Twitter stakes. And my celebrity for the week, and we've had him on once before, I think I have, is at Andrew Bogut.
Aussie NBA star, of course.
Who is a bit of a character by all accounts. And he tweeted after the Super Bowl halftime entertainment from Katy Perry, and I quote, "That had nothing on Meatloaf, #AFL Grand Final."
It certainly had nothing on Meatloaf in the shit stakes.
I would just love to know what some of Andrew Bogut's American followers thought of that tweet. Anyway, so they were my two.
If you're wondering what that's actually in reference to, it was Meatloaf appeared at the AFL Grand Final. I think maybe it was 2011, maybe 2012. It was the last few years.
Can I say, if you don't know what I'm talking
about, go to YouTube.
Get outside a little bit.
Search Meatloaf AFL Grand Final and you will see a Tangara derail itself.
The all-time worst performance.
This week, mine. So you did two amateurs and a celebrity.
Yeah.
Celebrities weren't really doing it for me this week.
Really?
So I've done one of those hybrid ones where I do sort of, you could call them a celebrity maybe, but really they're just a couple of punters behind the keyboard. Okay. Let's go for it. The first one was actually in reply to a tweet I put out the other day. It was during a rain delay in the cricket. And instead of going to the old highlights like they used to, Channel 9 went to proper like, I think it was Hot Seat Millionaire or whatever. And I was just like, come on.
Yeah.
Give us something here. So I wrote, Channel 9 should do the SCG's best ejections. There was an amazing 1999 game versus Sri Lanka at the SCG where 100 streakers got booted and so did Jason Taylor. #AusV. And I was at that game.
Were you?
And I'll never forget seeing his face on the big screen being dragged like he'd just woken up in a pool of his own piss.
Yes.
Which isn't far from the truth, to be honest.
Yes.
Being ejected from the game. To which, at @FootyFacts37, another Twitter character.
Who you love.
Who he's good. He tweeted back, I just attempted the Jason Taylor at an Australia Day party. Did not end well. #crisis. I don't even want to think about that. It would basically involve a cup of bodily fluids being thrown in the air.
Just talking about that Jason Taylor thing, can I shout out to someone? Ringo, you know who you are, Ringo. You're on the front page of the Telegraph the very next day tackling the stumps.
Yeah.
So,
he was the naked Richie Benno. Was he the naked Richie Benaud, or was he just the naked one who tackled the stumps?
That's all I'm going to say. Shout out to Ringo.
Woo! I remember that one too. But yeah, actually on that same game, a guy got back to me on Twitter and he just recounted, he was sitting behind them. Like he accidentally kneed one of the other North Sydney Bears players in the head. He did this, he did that. He was an on Johnny on the spot witness. It was great banter. Okay. Onto my celeb, which I use the term a bit loosely here. It's the Raw Sports, at the Raw Sports.
Good website. Find them.
Good website, good Twitter account. The tweet went like this: more hilarious Wikipedia buffoonery. And then it had an image below it. It was basically a screenshot of Wikipedia, which, if you don't know, can be edited by any person with a computer. For some reason, I don't understand this. I guess that's how they build. They probably don't staff people to write the stuff.
Yeah.
They just staff people to govern it.
Yeah.
So, and I read. It was the Wikipedia page for the Allan Border Medal. It says under the heading Allan Border Medalists, and it lists all the years and the winners and all that. So only one cricketer has won the award more than once. Glenn Maxwell won the award 16 times, sharing the award with himself in 2009. Oh. The only multiple winner is Glenn, who won the award 16 times. Medal winners have been 2000, Glenn Maxwell. 2001, Glenn Maxwell.
Okay,
2002, I think you can see where this is going. 2009, Glenn Maxwell and Glenn Maxwell. To the current year, 2015, Glenn Maxwell.
Very, very good.
It says, asterisk, no countback is used in the Allan Border Medal. The big show! So someone's just had gone to town on Glenn Maxwell or for Glenn Maxwell. I'm not really sure. It was very enjoyable though. And so what did I do but search Allan Border Medal on Wikipedia? And found that it had been reverted back to its accurate state. So there you go. We move on now to our Twitter challenge, to the unversed. This is when we started this podcast, we gave each other a challenge, and that is to get a follow and a tweet from a certain celebrity who we nominated each other's. I gave former legend Sally Fitzgibbons.
The muted Sally Fitzgibbons.
Doesn't say much, does she?
Unless let me give you the tip.
Some sort of like TM or copyright, some sort of proprietary limited business on it. So he got Sally Fitzgibbons. I got Mr. Shane Warne.
Easy.
How is Sally Fitz going?
I wouldn't know, clearly, because she doesn't fucking talk to me, basically. So I had another crack, and people are laughing at me as I do it. So I tried one of my former ploys by including Erin Molan in my tweet. And I tried again. I'm going to read it out in the mood that I'm in over this. Hi, at Sally Fitz. Any truth you're going to trump at Erin _Molan and be the new host of at NRL Footy Show? I got nothing. I got favourites.
Did you get some support?
I got people rubbing my tummy and saying, keep trying. And Erin Molan favourited it yet again.
Yes.
But Sally, I'm just invisible to her. I'm the Milko to her.
Oh, is that an obscure Home and Away reference? Yeah.
So, I'm going to keep trying again.
Yeah,
shout out to all my followers.
You keep on trucking, champion.
If you've got an idea, give me something. Obviously, the rules are we can't just tweet, I need you to follow me to win this competition.
That's right.
There's got to be some honour in it. And so far, I've got duck eggs, and I've got the hardest one of the two, obviously. Shane Warne, I mean, if you can't get
because you're not a proprietary limited business.
Yeah, exactly right. Anyone, check out Sally Fitz's feed if you've got 5 minutes and just look at the sponsor references. Good luck with that.
So I've had another crack at Warney this week, and I wrote a couple, and I did that whole movie scene thing where you type something and then you go backspace. And
awkward.
Yeah, it's sort of, I had, like when you're about to say something you think's really funny and then you go, nothing. I thought I've played the poker card, I've played the philandering card. I think I've played just something about cricket, some sort of cricket banter. So I tried something else this week. I said, at Shane Warne, which teammate was it who said your idea of a balanced diet was a cheeseburger in each hand? Old Twisty's fingers, was it? So, I'm referencing Ian Healy there because I believe that is something that Ian Healy said. And I thought, maybe this will, tug on the heartstrings and make him a bit nostalgic and go, yeah, that was Heels.
Yeah.
Having a bit of a laugh with me.
And so, he replied, obviously.
So we move on now.
Awkward.
No, nothing from Warnie. In fact, I should probably check Twitter just to see, because I've been waiting to see if he does reply to me.
Anything?
Well, I mean, I need you to fill here, mate. This is where we would normally
put I'm actually looking at mine at
put
the same
some elevator
time.
Music in just to get us through.
And I've got nothing.
Yeah, no. I'm going to... My Twitter hasn't loaded yet. I'm just going to assume I have nothing, and I'll break into what we're saying.
Yeah, it's a
safe... If I indeed...
Let's be honest, it's a safe bet.
Have something. Let's move on now. Our pizza delivery challenge. Before we wrap it up for the evening, you want to share this one? You tell us
about it. Yeah, okay. So, the pizza delivery challenge started by a listener, Blake Cole, who... On the delivery form of the Domino's pizza, you can add delivery instructions. So Blake puts in some funny things. Him and his mate shared it, got us involved, which was like lighting a fire under a jerry can of petrol. And so I've had two cracks. And the first one was, by the way, you can see these on our Facebook page.
That's right.
Full credit to the boys' Facebook page. And also on our Twitter address, which is at @FCTTB_podcast. And my first one was, can the delivery guy do some nitrous circus wheelies and maybe a backflip out the front, please?
Yeah, good.
To which, I've got to be honest, the guy looked at me a bit weird when he came and delivered the pizza. The second one, I'm going to even more disclosure from me. I'd had about 10 beers, and I thought, I'm going to do that pizza delivery thing because I'm here. And so I racked out one which said, I'll give you a tip if you pretend to recognize me or ask for an autograph.
How'd you go? Sally Fitz?
No. Here's the story. The guy come up, little Indian guy, bloody good bloke as it turns out.
Yeah.
And first of all, he handed me my pizza. I handed
him
my money.
Collie.
Nah. Well, he'd probably be a better delivery guy. And he said, hello, and looked at me. And I said, how are you going? And he looked back. And then I said, because I'm thinking, 10 beers in, I'd forgotten about this.
Do I remember you from the 80s?
No. Yeah. Yes, I remember your mullet now. And so I looked at him, and then all of a sudden it dawned on me that what I'd written on that form. So I gave him $5 to go away.
I thought you were going to say you gave him $5 to give you an autograph. The boys sack. So this is basically... I hate that title. This shout-out's basically a bit of an extension from former legends' Valentine's Day wishes that he gave before.
Would you say it's a hairy sack or a...
So what we basically do...
I'm
going to turn your microphone down.
Shave.
So what we do is give a bit of a shout-out to a few people who help us along the way, whether it be infrastructure for this podcast, whether it be people who've tweeted into us, or people who've tweeted about us just to, you know, rally up a bit of support. Had quite a few downloads, which is great fun. So thank you to all the people who've been doing that. And also make sure you tell your mum about us. She'd love us. Absolutely love us. When I say your mum, I mean your mates.
Yeah.
Tell your mates. So who have we got this week?
Okay. Just a couple of quick thank yous to the band Musk, who... gave us the music for the intro and outro of our podcast.
They're like a big hair band. They're like like a Skid Row style thing. They're radical.
Yeah, maybe we'll put it up on our Facebook page, but if you want to see the actual film clip to our song, it's a doozy, I've got to tell you. And we'll put it up, eh? And people can look at it. The second thing to our technical girl, and she's a girl, not you, Clive.
Less.
Yeah. Ali, who looks after all our, I guess...
All the computer stuff.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way.
Anytime we've got to touch a computer outside of tweeting...
All we can do is send emails and tweets.
Yeah.
We are about lost.
Very simple,
that.
Man. Very simple.
We
men.
Finish this podcast and we just send it to her and go, come on, just fix it,
Yeah. I'm from the country. So her company's name is Big Head Web Design. From what I can understand, that's something to do with the internet.
Yeah, I'd say so. The web design part probably refers to that. So good on you, Ali.
Yeah, good on you, Ali. And she answers calls in the middle of the night.
And emails.
Bit awkward, actually.
Yeah.
The next thing is our Facebook page. Show us some love. Please show us some love. Apparently, it's got 21 likers or 28 or something.
Wow.
Which is less than a Titans home game, from what I understand.
All you got to do is search Full Credit to the Boys in Facebook.
Okay.
That's all it is. And you'll see, well, I won't say you'll see our ugly mugs. You'll see the back of our ugly mugs because you don't want to see the front.
I was going to say, just, even that's too much.
That's right. So get on their Facebook. We've got a little bit more content you'll see on there rather than just what we put on Twitter. Yeah, Twitter's just our witty words. Facebook's got some pictures.
Yes.
Yeah, we like pictures.
And videos.
And videos. Good, good. And also, we were alluding to this earlier. Thank you very much for all the people who weighed into the Serena Venus debate.
Yeah, clearly Serena won.
It would have helped. It didn't help my cause, put it that way, that Serena won the Australian Open, you know, but whatever. Venus wins.
And just for a quick, if you've got nothing to do, Google Serena Panic Room. And
wow.
Yeah.
Sounds controversial.
It's very controversial. And there's a website that goes along with that topic. I think it's called Has Tennis Got a Steroid Problem? Read that for as long as you can. and the quick answer is yes.
I like it. And finally, we've got to go. But to all the people who've been getting on iTunes, rating us, reviewing us, slamming us, whatever. We just want honest responses. 5-star honest responses are probably, you know, yeah. We'd probably like you more if you do that. But say only if it's true.
Say we're shit, but then give us 5 stars.
Yeah, absolutely. The words mean nothing. Yeah. It's all about the stars. So there's been a few people who've jumped on iTunes, searched Full Credit to the Boys, gone through the reviews, left a review and a rating for us. One of which is Tristram Marshall, you legend.
Yeah.
Who else we got there?
There was another one, a guy named Dirk C, whatever. Whoever that is.
Oh, I remember. I saw this one.
Yeah, he wrote, I have spent a percentage of my life since Roy and HG looking for a podcast like this. All I can say, Dirk, is keep looking.
But thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Appreciate it very, very much. We'll probably put out a good one day. And until then, just hang in there.
Yeah, we hope you're enjoying it. You can get us on Twitter, of course. We are at FCTTB_podcast. Individually at Late Mailman, at Former_Legend. We're on Facebook, as we mentioned, and just some last minute housework.
When you go into iTunes, click review, give us a 5-star rating, and don't forget to subscribe.
Oh yeah, subscribe, because that way our podcast just automatically shows up in your podcast list each time that we publish one, and we don't have to tweet you, basically. Not that we, you know, wouldn't mind it. Thank you for listening once again. We'll be back very soon. Hopefully, we will be back with an ICC Cricket World Cup preview. Hopefully, with a special guest if he can arrange his busy schedule. And of course, as we've said, the footy season is going to be huge. So we look forward to you being along for the ride with us. See you next time.
Bye.